So we read in the scripture that God places in the scriptures what your actual creation, the reason for being is. It's amazing that if you're looking for a purpose, the very first thing you want to do is go to God's word and say, well, this is where it says right in his word. This is why I'm here. Everything after that flows from why God placed you here in the first place. You don't have to go looking too far to find out why God placed you here. Now, what we have to go looking for is, what do I want to do while I'm here serving God's purpose? What else does God have for me that I would kind of like to do? But as long as you're satisfying that need that God has for you here on earth, he'll take care of the rest. James 4:17, we talked about it, says, if anyone then knows the good that they ought to be doing and then doesn't do it, that's sin in their life. So as God places this life into you and has you moving through your daily life, and you are supposed to be doing good things, and you don't do those good things, there's a repercussion for that. So I asked the question last week, how should we live? How should we live? And we came up with a couple quick points. We should live with reverence to God and obey his commandments, and then know the good that you ought to do, and you should do it. I just kind of boiled it down to some basic things. Just, this is who you should be, and this is how you should live. And then I gave you those practical keys, is what the sermon series is about. Some practicalities last week. The first one was your salvation, your journey. Your life is a journey. The first thing you journey on spiritually is your connection back to your Creator. We call that salvation. Then we talked about starting to learn about God, and that's discipleship. We talked about that last week. Then we moved into the yearning phase, the practical steps. You start having this hunger, this deep spiritual hunger for the things of God. But you notice those things are all internal. Those are all things in your personal life. Until you get to the last stage we talked about last week, and that was the burning stage. So then it goes from inside, internal, to external. Burning means I got to serve someplace. God's got something bigger for me than just me. I've got to go serve. And you start to give back, and you start to move from kind of holding on to it inside to giving out. You start moving from the living stage internally to the walking stage, which is what we're going to talk about today. Your life walk, and you make this transition from this internal process of living for Jesus and learning to the external process of walking in his power and going and doing something for him and pushing forward and walking forward, as Paul talks about, and going and not looking back and taking steps and doing things and executing all those things that God wants you to do. Just like all the volunteers we have around a small church, so many people give their time and their attentions to things in the house, not only the physical house, but the spiritual house as well. The pastor could never do everything because there's so much to do. It would be impossible. But all that internal focus on that burning stage makes that transition to how we walk, which is what we're going to talk about today. What is walking with God really, truly mean? You know, I don't want to get so deep that we get lost, because this is a really deep topic. So on Sunday mornings, you see me at times, and at times I kind of get deep, like the river service was really kind of getting deep. And I don't want to get too deep that we get lost in it, because we can get lost in the depth of God's word in Bible study classes or Sunday learning center classes or in the future life groups. To really dive deeper, because you have more time and study and come back each week and you can really dive in. But on the Sunday morning, I try to keep it kind of practical. So when we leave with these gold nuggets of things that God's blessed us with. And I'm going to try to do that today. But I want to talk about how we walk. How we walk in our lives. It kind of brings a story to mind about a lady in the church. And I don't know. I just thought I'd share a story a little bit. Her name was Millie. And Millie had this walk with Christ. She had this walk, and she thought it was her calling to know everybody else's walk, right? We don't have those people here. I understand that. No one does that here, but Millie did it there, wherever there is. Now, I'm not going to tell you where there is, Could be an Alliance church. I don't know. It could be in the Louisville church. I don't know. It could be any church, right? But Millie had this walk that she had, this walk that she wanted to make sure everybody else's walk was really, really solid. And if she thought your walk wasn't real solid, she will let you know that your walk's not real solid. I know no one's like that here, right? So she would watch the people coming and going in church, the ones she knew and the ones she didn't know. But the ones she didn't know, she paid particular attention to make sure they're walking on the right line, straight and narrow, right? So this guy comes into church one day, and she's kind of like, oh, that's a different guy. He's not dressed real good. He's kind of grungy and, you know, in her terms, you know. I don't care how you come. I'm preaching in jeans here lately, if you haven't noticed, and I normally don't preach in jeans, but hey, here we are. So, you know, she's watching, and this guy keeps coming in, and she goes up to him one day. She says, hey, what's your name? He said, my name is George. She introduces herself with Millie, and she started probing with some of these questions, and he was like, he's not a talker. Ever meet those people that are not talkers in church, especially visitors? You know, you don't want to get too, you know, because sometimes they just kind of want to feel you out a little bit. So he comes and goes, but he starts coming. So it's Millie's job in the church to find out, you know, a little bit more about his spiritual walk. So she's asking questions. He's not talking. And he would just come, listen to the sermon, you know, the music went out. He would leave and come and go. And she's going through town one late Friday night. And, you know, there she saw his truck at the only bar in town. She thought that was a little odd. So she came back 2 hours later. The truck's still there. She comes back. 2 hours later, now it's 1 o'clock in the morning, the truck is still there in front of the only bar in town, small town, unlike Canton. And so church is on Sunday, so George comes into church on Sunday morning. Well, here's Millie going up to him and saying, hey, you know, I got to talk to you. You know, I got an issue here. You've been coming here for a month and a half. But I saw your truck in front of the bar Friday night for hours. That is not much of a spiritual walk. Well, George didn't want to talk about it. He was not happy that someone was watching his spiritual walk like that. That's not her job. And he said nothing. And she probed and asked and got into it and more and more and more. But nothing would come out of George's mouth. He would not talk about it at all, right? This is not her place, he thought. So he just left that day and went home. Well, George had a really good walk. In a good sense of humor, because the next Friday night, George parked his car, his truck, in front of Millie's house and left it there the whole night. See, your spiritual walk is your spiritual walk, right? It's your life. It's your spiritual walk between you and God, and it's not necessarily up to somebody else to tell you about how to walk. Now, there's scriptural basis about the pastor and your circle of influence. Some of us have, like many in our circle of influence. Other people like Tim only have three that he talked about this morning. But you have people to keep you accountable as you walk. But what does walking with God really, truly mean? To Millie, it meant this. To George, it meant this. But to you and I, it probably means a little bit different. But we have this perception of walking with God, but I'm not exactly sure if the perception is reality. Some of it is and some of it's not. I just wanted to talk about that today. And so let's just jump into Genesis 5:24, where we see a man of faith and a brief scripture in 5:24. It says, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. You know, in the Hebrew, it talks about walking with God as a dedication. That's what it means. It means dedicated. Or in what we know of, it's commitment. There's got to be a commitment. Well, Enoch had this phenomenal commitment. Why? Because the scripture says he walked faithfully with God. It doesn't say he walked with God. It says he walked faithfully. He walked dedicated. He walked committed. He walked faithfully with God. Now, who's Enoch? Well, the scripture doesn't give this wonderful definition of him. It gives just a few things. There's not tons of information about Enoch. But this scripture gives a perfect perspective of his life. He walked faithfully with God. God took him from the face of the earth, spared him death, the Bible talks about. And God just one day took him. That's a pretty faithful walk, church. If God spares you death and just takes you because you walked so faithfully with him. But I'm still not sure, just reading that, what does walking with God actually mean? What is that? What did he do during this process that God spared him death and said, hey, I'm just going to take you? So I start doing some research. You know, you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you start getting into, years later, the Hall of Fame. Well, we're in a Hall of Fame city for the NFL, so this should strike a chord with you. You know, the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews talks about several, many people, and what they did to attract God's attention. And the writer of Hebrews places them in this Hall of Fame in Hebrews. It says, these men and women are solid. They're, and let me read you just a few of them. Abel, first man, the first martyr, pardon me, in the Bible. Noah, the Bible says, was righteous. He's listed there. And it also says he walked with God. Well, we know all kinds of stuff about Noah, but hardly anything about Enoch. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the Bible says he walked with God. Sarah, the mother of the Jewish nation. Isaac, father of Esau, Jacob. You know these names. Joseph, the interpreter of dreams. Moses, giver of the law, walked with God. Joshua, a successful leader, faithful follower, is what the word says. David, now listen, there's a guy that's after God's own heart. And then you get to Enoch. There's others, but I just wanted to mention a few. Then you get to Enoch, and it says, a man who walked with God. It, to me, I think that's probably the most famous one because there's hardly any information in the scripture about him. But God says he faithfully walked with me. I kind of want to know everything about him and why he faithfully walked. Well, during that time, sin's running rampant, right? It's a number of, what, seven generations from Adam and Eve or so. And here we have this guy that comes on the scene, and he's faithfully walking with God, and all this stuff is going on, and society and creation and everything's moving forward, and he shows up and he's just going to be faithful and walk beside God. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's not a walk beside. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then here I go back and I say, what does that actually mean? What is walking with God? And everybody in here right now has their own perspective. Pastor, I know exactly what that means. I know what that means. That's your perspective of walking with God because that's your life, right? You're walking with God. That's your definition. I'm still searching for what does that truly mean for me? And Enoch was pleasing to God because he not only lived his life by faith, faithfully, he also lived his life in intimate communion with God. He walked with him. And that's where I get life walk. I see the life. I see the walk. Those two things have to come together. You can have the life internally. I serve Jesus. I live for Jesus. All that, you know. But you have really no walk. You have no long-term commitment. You have no outward signs. I've known people like that. You've known them too, where they actually live for God internally. They're saved, accepted Christ as Savior. But I don't see a whole lot of walking there because we don't see any outward signs. But Enoch did because it says, I faithfully walked. And I ask myself, what does that mean? Well, it's got to mean some type of intimate communication with God. That's the external action. You've got to do something to walk. Now, I remember when the kids were young and we're teaching them how to walk. That was process. Some of our kids would just take off and try to do it quick, and other ones would go real slow. But there was action on their part because they had to learn something. They had to learn how to walk. Just like us. We have to learn how to move from where we're at to where God wants us, but it is a process that we have to move forward. We have to walk. And then you hear this thing about walking before you run and all that, you know. It's a process. And so I dive into what exactly does that process look like? Walking in intimate relationship, communion with God. He did it in the midst of a crooked and perverse world as sin was moving forward, exactly how you and I have to live today in a wicked and perverse society. A separation between the way the world says it is and the way we should live it. So walking with God, you know, I get this picture in my mind. Walking with God is God on my side, me here, and we're just kind of strolling down the beach together, side by side. Isn't that walking? I mean, that's kind of, you know, and he's talking and I'm talking and there's this communication, this dialogue going on. And then I actually think, well, wait a second, maybe that's not how it really always is. Maybe it's a lot of talking from God and me listening, or really it's probably a lot of talking from me and God listening, when it should be a lot of talking back and forth. Why? Because that's the walk. But I see this picture of me being side by side with God. I don't know how you, I that's how I see it. I see us kind of, you know, strolling. Isn't that what walking is? And then the more I dive into the scripture and start studying, the more I see, wow, it's not necessarily just that. There's some more things here. Enoch lived by faith and he walked by God. Okay, so here we are. We know faith. You know, faith, yeah, we know that. We got the faith that he faithfully walked, and now he's walking with God. So there's the process of having the faith, got that. And then I got to walk. Can't walk with God without having faith that God exists. I got to clear that up before I can walk. So, and then I walk arm in arm with God. I believe he is the great I am, before I want to walk. I wouldn't want to walk with someone else that's not God, right, spiritually. So I got this stuff going on in my head. So Enoch lived by faith, walked by God, with God, then miraculously was taken. Wow, if that's the goal, and I got to walk with God, and he's going to spare me death, I'm going to hang out. I think that'd be cool, kind of cool. I'm going to hang out with him a little bit. But Hebrews gives me the beginning of this whole thing, and you know the scripture, Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That's how he faithfully walked. He walked in faith. He's the Hall of Fame in faith, right? In Hebrews, he's part of that. He's part of the great men and women of faith. Believing first without seeing. I say around the church, we're going to renovate the facilities. And several of you said, Pastor, how can you do that? How can we afford that? Well, we're going to do it because God called us to do it. And here we are, walking by faith, believing. But God's going to do what God's, we're going to walk side by side and arm in arm, and we're going to listen, and he's talking, and I'm listening, and have this dialogue, and we're going to go about our merry way. Remember, when we talked about living, we talked about having reverence for God and obeying his commandments, and then know the good things that you should be doing and go do them. That's the life. But now we're going to have to execute that into a walk. We're going to have to say, okay, let's do this and walk forward. But I noticed it doesn't say anything about the destination in front of me. But when you're arm in arm with God, you're okay. You don't have to necessarily see what's ahead of you. In fact, I think my faith would be a whole lot better when God's walking with me. I don't know if I need to see the next step. I don't know if I need to see what's ahead of me if I got the faith reassurance that God's beside me arm in arm. Especially if he's talking and I'm listening and I'm talking and he's listening and we got something going. We're hanging out. I don't know if I really care. I don't know if I need to see what's ahead of me. In fact, it's not an issue. So how should we walk in close communion with God? Well, what does that really mean? I still ask myself, what does walking with him mean? You know, Jesus talks about it. He says it like this, not two people journeying down a path together like I just described it. It's not necessarily that. Jesus didn't portray it like that. Get ready, church, because here we go. he didn't really portray it like that, this arm in arm thing. That's how I see it, because it's just kind of what I feel, you know, walking together. That's kind of what the human side tells me it is. Jesus didn't say it like that, really. He kind of fused the two together, the two people together. And then he adds intensity to it. It's not just a side-by-side thing. The Bible says, and Jesus asks this question in the scripture. Here's the question he asks. He says, he doesn't say, how is your walk? We say, how is your walk? The Christian says, how is your daily walk with Christ? But Jesus didn't say that like that. He said, how are you abiding in me? Is what the scripture says. Oh, wait, that's not the same perspective. That's not the same connotation. That's not the same look. You know, walking side by side, sure, but what he is really saying is, and he says it in the scripture, how are you abiding in me? That's a fusion of two people together. That's like intense. That's like we're one together in Christ. I'm abiding in Christ, right? You don't think that's right? John 15:4 says it is. It says, remain in me. I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That's not just a walk together. See, that problem is sometimes, church, we do exactly that. We walk side by side, talk. A lot of times we walk side by side, do all the talking, and Jesus does all the listening, and we need to do some less talking and more listening, right? You don't learn anything talking. You learn listening. Bad English, good preaching, right? We are incapable of accomplishing anything without Jesus. And he tells us there's this abiding in me togetherness. But let me tell you something. When you do that, there's this big word that pops up, and that's obedience. We abide obediently. The scripture says something, and that's what God expects from us. See, there's this communion with God when you abide in him and walk with him. But then the big O word shows up, and it's obedience. Now, see, we don't like that word too much sometimes, because we'll say we'll be obedient over here, but over here, not so much. Why? Because this one over here hurts, and this one doesn't hurt as much. So we stay away from the ones over here, and we're not as obedient. When God, you know, I love when people say to me, God told me to do this. But then they tell me that they want me to execute on it. It's lovely, right? Pastor, God told me to tell you that we should be doing this in the church. Then God's going to tell me, right? Because I'm abiding in Jesus, and God's going to speak to me because we're one and the same and we're together. And God's going to speak that to the pastor before he speaks that to you, or at least confirm it with the pastor. And I'm not, right? That's what the scriptures kind of say. That's what it says, right? You know, Ed Shepherd, you know, God's not going to tell you. So I always come back and say, well, God's speaking to you in your walk, I think. Oh, no. No, it's a message for you in your walk. Really? Why didn't God tell me? Because I'm hanging out with him. I'm spending time abiding in the vine. And I just can't believe God wouldn't speak that to me at all, but speaks it to somebody else to tell me. Well, Pastor, don't you think that's biblical? Can't they do that? Well, yeah, I think there would be a confirmation there. But I can't believe my best friend wouldn't tell me direct. Right? I can't believe my best friend wouldn't say, hey, Brother Brad, let me have a little conversation with you. We need to talk. Right? So I thought, okay, God, how can I give these practical steps to the people on a Sunday morning that they can walk away with and say, I got it? So he gave those to me and Millie. What are those practical steps to walk with God? Well, let's go over a few of them, okay? The first one I gave away already. The first one is abide in Christ. See, it's not just a walk side by side, arm in arm. It is a togetherness, oneness. The vine, the branches, the scripture speaks of. We can't do something apart. Hold on and watch all this. And that's a continue without fading process. It's amazing, and we all do this, that during the times of good, we're like glued to God. During the times of trial, tribulation, as we sang this morning, and that, you know, we kind of get disconnected and we say things like, how am I ever going to get through? How am I ever going to make it? I'll never be able to do it. It'll never happen. That is not abiding in the vine. The second thing, probably maybe even more so, listen to this. Guard your thoughts. Practical things. Guard your thoughts. Practical things to walk with God in close communion. Abide in Christ and guard your thoughts. This is a kind of a tough one. Philippians 4:8 says it like this. Finally, brothers and sisters, you know this one. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on those things. Why? Does anybody ever ask, why? Pastor, why? Thank you. Why? Because your thoughts determine your habits, and your habits determine your actions. That's why. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. Because your thoughts determine your actions, your habits, and your habits determine your actions. That's why God says, think on those truly good things. That's why. Because when you go back to the Bible, back to Genesis, and you see what Enoch and where Enoch came from the line of Seth. And then this guy, Lamech, that came from the line of Cain. And, you know, they're the polar opposites. You know, the line of Seth was, that's good. That's pretty cool, right? And the other side of Cain, not so good. Because you know the story of Cain and Abel. One was a rebellious line and one was a godly line. One had impure thoughts and one had pure thoughts. Seven generations down, you still have impure bad thoughts. Seven generations down, you show up with Enoch. And Enoch says, I walked with God. And it started with a thought. And then it turned into an action. To the next generation, 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 to the next. That's a lot of generations. And you know the story from there. So guard your thoughts. Practical things of how do you walk closer with God and abiding in them. Abide and guard your thoughts. But here's one for you and Millie. Mind your mouth. Not what you think. Hold on. Mind your mouth. Your words must demonstrate your belief that God is working on your behalf. At Calvary Church, we call that speaking life. We don't say, I don't know how this will work out. You know, there's this, I just kind of alluded to this here a second ago. There's these two sentences, these two phrases of how we live. You mind your mouth. Dovetails right out of guard your thoughts. We don't, you know, this is how we talk. I don't know how this will work out. Okay. I don't know how it's going to work out, but trust God. I don't know, complete dependence and obedience in a communion of intimate relationship with God, right? I just don't know how it's going to work out. But as my wife continually says, almost every day of her life, but God. And the bigger the problem, the more God gets the glory of solving the problem. The bigger the thing, the better God comes in with glory. But this is how a lot of us do it. We say, things look so bad, I don't know what I'm going to do. And when I say that at home, my wife immediately corrects me, because I say that sometimes. And she says, you? I don't know how it's going to turn out. What do you have to do with it? It's not your problem. It's not your project. It's not your situation. It's God's calling. It's God's project. It's God's finances. It's God's life. It's God's family. It's God's church. But God, that's the walk. She doesn't think I listen. I just don't tell her I listen. Because if you tell her you listen, you got to listen more. And I'm not one that wants to listen too much Because I don't want to hear the thing,
I told you so.
Right? No one wants to hear that. She doesn't do that. You know, she doesn't do that. Mind, your mouth. Why do I say it like that? Why do I think it's really something that helps your walk or hinders your walk? Of course. Watch what the scripture says in Matthew 12:37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. My goodness, I could almost speak myself out of life and my walk. I could almost convince myself I'm not abiding in Christ. Every time I say I'm minimizing the power of God and the supernatural river that flows through your life. It is not mine to worry about. It is God's. So I got to mind my mouth. I got to abide in Christ. I got to guard my thoughts. I got to guard and mind my mouth. Be careful what I say, because I could talk myself right out of abiding in the vine. And then I get to the point four. It says, what are you doing? Bible says, faith without works is dead. I ask myself this a lot, church. I walk closely with God. I believe I'm abiding in the vine. I feel like I'm good. Not that I stumble or don't stumble, but I feel like I'm on the right path, right? He's got me on this path, and I feel like I'm walking it together, one and one. However, I ask myself a lot, what am I doing? What am I doing? What is the executables? What am I doing? God, is there something more I should be doing? Am I doing too much over here? What am I doing? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says, and I say, thank you, God. I've got to listen to the word first and foremost if I'm going to walk with God and abide in the vine. I can't do what I just said to you a second ago. I can't say over here, I'm going to listen to this and not listen to this stuff over here. You know why? Because this stuff over here doesn't necessarily fit into my life like I want it to. But this stuff over here, well, hey, that's great. I can stay there and live there. And a lot of us live here when God wants us to look at the whole word and be obedient and say, well, the stuff over here is the stuff I'm dealing with y'all right now. This is my stuff. This is where I need to be. I need to walk over here and abide in the vine over here, just like over there, right? It's a powerful thing. Do not merely listen to the word. That's the internal process, just to listen and learn. That's the learning phase that I just talked about in my message last week. You listen, but we don't do. We got to do what it says. We got to do what it says. We got to do what it says. Church, we got to do what it says. I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward right now, and I just want to go through a few steps with you here. See how fast time goes when you're having fun. You know, I want to give you this little scenario. I try to make things practical, how you can relate to them on a Sunday morning, and I'm hoping this will really speak to you. You know, this Facebook thing is just like out there. Not a huge Facebook fan. It's okay. I got a Facebook page and whatnot, and we check in at Calvary to let people know we're a church, and, you know, it just seems like it gets you in more trouble than anything. But I want to run you through something here. It's a musician setup. Just think about something. For those that are on Facebook or social media, whatever, let's just say Jesus has a cell phone. Let's say Jesus has a Facebook page. Let's say Jesus has a car. Let's say Jesus has a job, lives on the other side of town from you, checks in at the places that he goes to just like you do and I do or whatever, lets everybody know what we're doing. It's an everyday guy. And he's your friend. He's your friend on Facebook. Woohoo. But he's your friend in life. See, there's this huge difference between these friends in Facebook and friends in life. Let's say he's both. Jesus with a cell phone. Now that's a cool thought, right? Jesus has a cell phone. He's checking up on things on his cell phone, and he's watching and listening, just like we do. And I asked the church, myself, how often do I hang out with that guy? Not just check in on Facebook. How often do I hang out with him? He lives across town. I know where he lives. How often do I share good news with him? How often do I complain to him? How often do I ask his advice? How often do I say, Jesus, want to chat? Have a conversation? Do you listen to him or do you just talk a lot? Does he get a text message from any of us? What about a phone call? Oh, what's a phone call? All right, what's a phone call? Does he hear from us? Can we text him and say, hey, Jesus, let's go grab coffee? Do you answer his call or his text message? Do you answer it? When he sends it, do we respond? Is Jesus your first priority when it comes to how to spend your time? Or do you put it off until the last minute, just in case something better comes up? Do you try to keep secrets from him, even though he just lives across town and he's your best friend or one of your better friends? Do you act one way with him and another way when he's not around? When you and Jesus are headed somewhere, are you a backseat driver, telling him which way to go, what route to take, and how fast to go? Do you hang out with him on a Friday night? Do you trust him to be your friend? When you go to his house, do you lend him a hand, or do you just eat his food and drink his drink and take off? What does your relationship, your walk, your abiding in the relationship with this guy, Jesus, really honestly look like? And I ask myself those questions. That's how I wrote them. That's me. I'm asking me. That's me. See, preachers usually don't preach things that they can't relate to. Right, brother? We preach things that we can really kind of like, wow, I ask myself all these questions. And I have to admit, I'm pretty good. But I look at some of those and say, wow. Not so good. Not so good. I put some of the eyes in there. Like, I don't know how I could do that. I can't go there. I can't find the time for that. Got to be careful with that. You know, walking with God allows you to take hold of, lay claim to all the promises of God in obedience and dependence of him as a reward. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions this morning, church. I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, bow your eyes, bow your heads. Close your eyes. I just want to ask a couple questions before we dismiss. I just want to pray for some people here today. And how many of you, by a raise of hands, would say to me, so I could pray with you, no one's looking around, that you want a truly closer walk with Christ today? If that's you, just raise your hand. Yes, thank you, thank you. If you put your hands up, you can put your hands down. Yeah. Hands throughout the whole congregation. Life-changing commitments coming up here. So you want a closer walk with God, abiding in the vine, step by step, one together, not you walking and him walking side by side, but together, intense relationship, an intimate communion with the creator of the heavens and the earth. So here's the question. Who would say today that they're ready to make a commitment to walk closer with Christ? Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yes, 16. Thank you. Put your hands down. Last chance. If you're here today and you want to make a commitment to walk closer with Jesus Christ than you ever have, I'll give you one more chance to raise your hand. Just put your hand up. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Put your hand up. You can put it back down. I don't want to leave anybody else. Thank you. I don't want to leave anybody out. We are not guaranteed one more day. We're not guaranteed one more hour. We're not guaranteed one more minute. We could leave here today, and that could be our call home. Anybody else? You're going to make a commitment today to walk closer to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Stand with me, church. I'm going to pray over you today. Those who made a commitment to get a closer walk with Jesus. But if you don't even know the Jesus that we're talking about today, I would love to introduce you to him. And I would love you to come to this altar and say, Pastor, I don't even know this guy. He's not my friend. I don't even know who he is. And I'm going to tell you a couple things that's going to change your life today. But for those who knew him and now have made a commitment to walk closer with him, step by step, arm in arm, abiding in the vine even, as the Bible says, Jesus questioned. I'm going to ask you, as soon as our worship team starts to sing, that you walk up front, raise your hands, and just make that public declaration at the altar of the church that you're going to make a commitment to follow Jesus even closer. Don't wait 1 second. Don't delay. Let's sing together.